you.
Thank you.
And I can feel His Spirit is present here. Donna, Pastor Bill, thank you so much for this opportunity. And I know Alan, he's in a higher place right now because he's up in the balcony. And thank you for Alan and him obeying God and being part of Tanzania. The fruit is flowing because of God's work, not our work. It's God's. And it's His story. His story. Amen? Amen. Don and I have been in the mission field now for 30 years in Tanzania. And he's doing incredible works, and we're just awestruck that he chose us. Every day, we thank him for what he's doing. We're going now, this July, in 45 years of being married. We have 44 children. I was going to say 40. We got many children in the Lord. And we have 4 children, 2 boys, 2 girls. And I know you guys have been praying for Javin. And you know we have Stephen in the mission field over in Iraq. But thank you for your prayers. And Javin, we just thank God. You know, we watch the miracles happening. We love how even when the devil tries to kick us down, we kick back. We keep going and move forward. Javin is moving forward. He's now home. The doctors don't know what's happening with Javin, but he has no feeling in his feet or his hands.
Yet.
That's right, but we know it's coming. Because we move in faith because we know our God is greater. That's right. That's right. Amen. And so we just want to thank you guys for your prayers, your support. And it's an honor to be here in front of you all and to tell you what God is doing.
Just a little bit about what we're doing in Tanzania. So we go to unreached, least reached people groups in Tanzania, hidden tribes. I said this last time, but maybe, you know, some maybe don't remember, so I'm just repeating. But Tanzania, where there's a road, the gospel has reached on the road. There's churches along the road. But interior, in the mountains, in hidden places, the gospel hasn't reached. So we kind of, our motto is where the road ends is where our ministry will begin. So God has, it's time. It's, we believe we're in the last days, and God is sounding an alarm from heaven. And we know that we're sent to these tribes, so we follow footprint paths, and God just reveals where it is we're supposed to stop. When we come, I'm just giving you an example, when we come up to a village, we're let in by a footpath, we'll cut down trees in front of the car to follow this path in. When we arrive, we stop, because you have to be invited in. Right? The Lord doesn't just bully us and barrel in. So we stop. Normally, the first person we meet is the witch doctor. So, and after that, we wait for what they call the king or the chief of the village, depending on the tribe, we wait for him to come. And when we're down south with the Tongwe, you know when the king of that village arrives, because everybody goes down and they slowly clap to him. And he looks like everybody else, but he carries himself a little different. Anyway, and the Lord has told us, he gave us something to say, and we're going to say it until he changes it. But basically what he's told us to say is that the God of heaven has sent us. He knows you're here, and he loves you. And he's inviting the whole world to know him, and he doesn't want to leave you out. Can we stay and tell you about him? And to today, nobody has said no. So we praise God for that.
Yes.
Amen, amen, amen. And we're not kind of like running ahead. So we go in and we'll show the Jesus film, and people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. And we kind of don't just count numbers, because we just feel like it's in the relationship. It's deep. It's a deep work of the Lord. So if we just leave at that point and say, oh, all these people came in this village and that, we're missing it, because they need to be discipled. There needs to be lasting fruit. There needs to be roots to go down. So we'll go back and visit and visit and disciple. It's a little difficult, you'll see in the video, because they can't read. So it's not like we're going to hand out Bibles or tracts, and it's not like we're going to go send them to Bible college. You know what I mean? Like, that's not happening. So, but it's the simple gospel. Amen? It's the simple gospel. It's like the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit shows up and God calls the heart. God turns the heart of men to himself. You know, when they cry out, God, it moves the heart of God and God shows up. And we're just seeing signs and miracles and people coming to the Lord, witch doctors putting down their witchcraft because, wow, what's walking with you is something I've never seen. And whatever that is, I need to know. So we've been just really honored and blessed as the Lord has opened up to us the north, tribes in the north, the south, the east, and the west right now in Tanzania. And he just gave us three more villages. I say three, it was two new ones. One we've been working on, we sent a national in, steeped in witchcraft. And so our national pastor went in. Alan was part of a lot of this year, but our national pastor went in. It took him a little bit to get accepted, like 2 years. And after that, he worked on bringing in some foreigners. And this year we were invited in. And while we were there, the Lord opened up other villages deeper that we'll be able, in Jesus' name, to go back to this year. Amen. Okay, so here's a little video. If the video can be played, and it's a little peek into Tanzania.
Elephant.
Amen. That's just a little peek of the Maasai and the Taungwe. But we have a total of about just over 30 villages that we've reached by the grace of God. And he's continuing the work. And we just thank him for that. And he chose us to do it. And we have been obedient in Jesus' name. You saw the Maasai there jumping. And all the time when we go into the Maasai, they say, Bobby, you got to jump with us. And I said, don't you know white man can't jump? But they understand. And we love them. And God is doing a miracle work in them. And I know, Pastor, you've been into all parts of the world where God has called you. And you know the experience and you see the miracles. And we thank him for that. But what the Lord has placed on my heart today for me, and I believe the church needs to hear, is about love. Because without love, nothing happens. God wants us to be intimate with him in such a way that when he says go right, you go right. When you go left, you go left. And we're able to hear his marching orders. Amen? Amen. Matthew 22, 37 through 38, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. This is an ongoing lesson for me, to continue to love, to have that intimacy with Christ. In our walk with Jesus, we should continually be asking God to show us his way, not our own, and to be an inspiration to those who are around us. Even here in America, you know, God just doesn't do miracles in Africa. He does miracles all throughout the world. Amen? Don't let them see me. Let them see the Lord in me. That's what it's about. Because we are imitators of Christ. Exodus 33, 9 through 11. And it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. It stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked to Moses, and all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. Imagine that. God's glory descending. When you move and you have that intimacy with Christ, he descends. Yes. You continue on. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. Man, that is just awesome to me, just to speak to God face to face. As a man speaks to his friend, and he would return to the camp, but his servant Joshua remained in the tent and did not depart from the tabernacle. That's where I want to be. Be like Joshua. First off, be like Christ, but have that desire to have that intimacy. That's what Christians are missing today. A lot of people all over the world say, I'm a Christian, but do they really know what that means? As a Christian, we need to go deeper and have a deeper relationship with our Father, a deeper desire to go after him. Psalms 91, 1 through 2. And he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, my God, I will trust. And Javan is aware of that. He is strong. And we thank the Lord because we trust in the Lord that He will bring him through this. Isaiah 30:21 in the New King James. Your ears shall hear a word behind you and saying, this is the way to walk in it. This is the way, walk in it. Wherever you turn to the right hand or wherever you turn to the left. Amen? You will hear His voice. Jeremiah 29:11-14. For I know the plans and thoughts that I have for you, each one of us, says the Lord. Plans of peace and well-being, and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Your future is with Christ. Then you will call on me, and I will come. And pray to me, and I will hear your voice, and I will listen to you. Then, with a deep longing, this is the Amplified Version, you will seek me and require of me as vital necessity. Vital that we hear our Lord. And you will find me when you search for me with all your heart, with all. Not half, all. I will be found by you, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes, and I will free you and gather you from all nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place where I sent you into exile. In our preaching, when Donna and I preach, we do this together. And we just love sharing what God is doing. And so I'm going to ask Donna to come up and share a testimony. Amen.
Amen. So we will hear a voice, a word behind us telling us which way to go. And I just want to share a little testimony about something that happened in Tanzania. So we were up on a mountain. It was three mountains up, and when we got there, I mean, it took everything that we had to get up there. We took everything you needed for 3 days, everything to cook. You took your own water and sleeping bags and everything. We carried it up. And when we got there, we set up the Jesus film, set up our tents, and we showed the Jesus film the first night. The people there, now, to say we showed the Jesus film, it wasn't like they sat and watched it. We'll set it up 3 nights in a row because the first night, they've never seen a film. So nobody's paying attention to the message or anything. They're just trying to figure out what they're even seeing. You know what I mean? It's like, what is this? Then in the morning, we go around and we go hut to hut and we share the gospel message that's on the film, right? That's our life, is the gospel. So we go and share what God has done and how He's made a way for us to know the Father. And we share it and we pray for the sick, and then we show the film again. And every night there's more and more coming. By the morning of the third day, right, we wake up and there's a line outside of our tent. The whole area there is packed with people that have come from over the different mountains because they heard that we were there. And they've come, I mean, God already started healing people, so word just kind of spread. So as we woke up, there was our assignment right there. And we kind of broke our team up, and my daughter-in-law and I, we kind of went over to a handful of the women, and we just started praying over these women. And these two women specifically came over. They were burning with fever. They had malaria. You know, we prayed over them, and God right there broke the fever. You felt right under your hand the fever break. Praise God. And as they got up to walk and for the other ones to come, the Lord said, I heard the Lord, And he said, I'm not finished with that one. So I called her back. And when I called her back, she kind of was now reluctant. And I remember seeing her at the film. She received the gospel message when we had prayed with this woman. Anyway, and she's sitting there kind of with scared eyes. And she sits down and she starts twirling a necklace. She had on a black stringed necklace and she's twirling it. And her eyes are down. And I just felt like the Lord said, pray for her heart. So I prayed for her heart. And, you know, I'm waiting for the release of the Lord and it didn't come. So I'm like, what's going on? You know, like, what's going on with your heart? You know, I felt like the Lord said it was broken. And she said, I'm fine. And all the women around her were like pointing at her. No, she's not fine. No one said it, but they're all like, mm-mm. So I pressed further. And then she's holding her necklace and she goes, she said, my joy has been taken. And I said, your joy? I said, tell me about it. And she goes, my daughter is my joy. She was my joy. She said, for 19 years, she was my total joy. We laughed. We plowed the fields together. We did everything together. My daughter was my joy. And then she said, and one night, my husband came in drunk. And he horribly killed the daughter in front of her. And she said, I said, what's this necklace? And she said, that's to remind me of how my daughter died. And she just sat there twisting it. And I was really just praying and asking the Lord for the keys to this woman. Because, you know, we know God can minister to her. What can I say? I can't say nothing on my own, you know? So it's like, Lord, what is the keys to her? And I was just quiet before him. And I heard him say, the scripture, I give beauty for ashes. He trades. Beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And I sat there and I was like, you know, you heard the gospel we've shared. I said, you know, another part about God is he loves to trade things. I said, and he wants to trade. He wants to trade you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy he wants to give you for mourning. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I said, so the garment of praise means you're going to take off something and you're going to put on. I said, your daughter, does she really want you to remember the moment she died or the 19 years of joy that you had? I mean, God wants to trade this. And she goes, no, she would want me to remember the joy. I said, and God wants you to remember the life that he has given, because you've got a whole life in front of you. Anyway, and I asked her to trade me the necklace that was on her that represented the death of her daughter, and to trade for, I took off one of these necklaces and I said, to trade for a necklace that would remind you of the hope that God has for you. And she broke the necklace off and she grabbed that necklace and that woman just started laughing. And she stood up. I said, I want to see you dance. And she did. She didn't even hesitate. She just started like thanking the Lord. And she got set free in her forward action, receiving the word of the Lord. She traded right there. And that night when we had the Jesus film, she was just crying and dancing in the moonlight before the Lord. And it was just so beautiful. And I just for us all, like, the Lord is faithful, we know this, right? To his word, he's faithful. And don't let our situations rob us of the word behind us. Jesus is the word. And he knows exactly what we need to hear in every situation. So just like, stay sensitive. It's not by what we're seeing. It's by what the Lord has given us, right? He's with us. So, I don't know, let this testimony be encouragement to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. As Christians, we need to have a deeper relationship with our Father, a deeper relationship and a deeper desire to go after him. Joshua stayed in a tent, King David having a heart after God. Abraham was God's friend. Each of us have a calling on our lives. having that relationship with him reveals the calling and promise he has for us. Israel leaving Egypt, going into the promised land, and we're going to Canaan under God's direction. Moses had instructions from God to go into Canaan and to send out spies into Canaan, 12 of them. Each had one leader from each tribe. Numbers 13, 2 through 3. Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I have given to the children of Israel. For each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran according to the command of the Lord. All of them, all the men who were heads of the of children of Israel. Amen. A lot of times we can talk ourselves out of the promise of God. And a lot of times we can also talk ourselves out of hearing the voice of God. And Donna calls that stinking thinking. We all have it. You may be challenged by, can I talk to somebody over there, you're in Walmart, and he's in a wheelchair, or you could see he's bothered, and you say, oh, no, I can't do that. You walk away. But that's stinking thinking. You heard the voice, you felt the unction, but you walked from it. And that's exactly what the Israelites did in Canaan. You had majority rule. 10 said no, but 2, Joshua and Caleb, said, let's go. And they walked, they turned their backs and walked away.
So the promised land was right there, and instead they reasoned and they turned away from the Lord. And we can do it. We just really need to stay before the Father and stay intimate with him, so that the things that are on his heart are more important than the things that are on ours. He knows the beginning to the end. We don't know anything. He knows it all, and we don't. And the way any one of us without children, if we said, go do this, and they just decided, well, I'll do this part, but not that part, we would be like, are you kidding me? You know, I told you to do this. So, I mean, as adults, who are we to stand and just say, as we reason our way out, that we'll listen to some of what God says and not all that he says, you know? So, again, we were in a village, and we shared the gospel, and a number of people got saved, and we left and came back like 2 weeks later. And when we came back, there was a man there who said, I was there 2 weeks ago, and I received Jesus as my God. He said, he touched me. He said, I'll never be the same. He's my God. He said, I went up to my mountain, and he said, I worship my God up there. He goes, and now we're 5. And he said, and I saw you were reading from something. And he goes, I know how to read. What is that book? And we shared, and we gave him a Bible. And he's like, because I'm going to go read it up on my mountain with my people up there. And we said, well, we want to come. You know, can we come up there? Can you take us? And he's like, yeah. So he went to go get things ready to let them know we were coming. We still had work down at the base of the mountain. And so we continued for about 5 days of work. And then we geared up to go up the mountain. He said, it's only over that mountain right there. Right. So we had 3 other men with us, pastors, and we had 100 Bibles. We put them all in backpacks, and we went. Before we left that week, messages were coming down the mountain from the witch doctor. If you come up here, I'm going to kill you. If you come, we're going to kill you. And he, over and over, different people, about 6 people, came and just told us that all these messages. So we went, and we went up over the first mountain, because that's where he said it's just over the top. And we were like, there's no village here. It's like, where is this place? And he goes, see that mountain over there? It's just right over there. So we continued, and we got over that mountain, and we were like, Steve laughs, and he goes, see that big one? It's probably just over that one. And it was. We had to go over this huge mountain. Anyway, we got there, and praise God, the village, there was over 50 people that received Christ there in that village. It was Tusi Banane, the name of it. The witch doctor was nowhere, but the people all gathered, and it was wonderful, right? So some time passed. We usually like to get right back in. That was a long journey, and some things happened. We had teams come and move over with us, and there was 2 years passed. Too long, right? So, every day we were praying for Tusi Banane and couldn't wait to get back. So we had everything established, other villages opened up, and this day came and we're like, let's go back to Tusi Banane. But we didn't know the road, and that man was all the way up there. So we had a new team member, his name was Musa, and we were like, Musa, do you know? He was a Tongwe in that area. Do you know where Tusi Banane is? And he goes, oh yeah, my uncle lives up there. My uncle's a chief of the village up there. He said, let's just go there. And we were like, okay. So we packed up and we went. And when we went over the second mountain, I remember going left and Musa took us right. And I was thinking, this is a different way, you know? And we got up there. And it's like 5 at night, we are exhausted. We're sitting under a mango tree at his uncle's house, and we're sitting there, and he's introducing us, because we're gonna stay at the uncle's house, or at least he's asking. So now we're there, and he goes to his uncle, you remember Mama and Baba, Mom and Dad, right? And he looks down, he didn't even look up at us, and he shakes his head, no, and he goes, yes, I remember them. And I thought, I don't remember this guy. I haven't been in this village. And he goes, yeah, you remember. They were over in Tusi Banane. And he goes, yep, I remember them. And then he goes, can they stay here? He said, can they stay at your house, his hut there, and can you show them around the village tomorrow? They want to share about Jesus, their God. And he goes, yes, they can stay. Do you know who that guy was? The witch doctor that threatened us, okay? Oh my goodness. If I really would have wrestled if God said, okay, now I want you to go over and go stay at the witch doctor's house. I really would have wrestled, honestly. But God knew that that he led us to the place where he knew was going to be best. That testimony. We woke up the next morning. That witch doctor walked us around his village, and God showed up in power. He stood there watching people get set free. We went down a path, and this drunk came running out of the trees. I don't even know where he came from, and fell down in front of us saying, please, I need deliverance. He didn't use those words. He was like, I have demons. Please help me. Help me. I have demons. I mean, God, this man watched that. The first night we were at his house, a few people secretly came and he took them aside and he's doing his thing. We were there 3 nights. The second night, the village gathered and we got to share the gospel. We had lines of people to pray over at his house. They came to meet Jesus. They came for the counselor, the Prince of Peace, our mighty God. And that man witnessed the power of God at his house. And we just thank the Lord, because that was the promise. That was God's aim. And so many times, honestly, I might have turned away. I would have wrestled. I would have really laid down. I would like to think, I would say, oh yeah, let's go to the witch doctor's house. But God knew. You know, he knows what's best. So just, if he says something, whether you understand it or not, you know, go before him, hear him. If it's him, don't you hesitate. Don't hesitate. Give it all you have, because his aim is perfect. His aim is perfect. He's seeking and saving that which is lost. His aim is perfect. Amen.
Amen. See, God gave Moses direction to go into Canaan, because he didn't want the Israelites to be surprised by what they saw. But they were, because they weren't. They were listening to stinking thinking. A lot of times, we can talk ourselves out of that, like Donna was just saying. The majority of Christians are in that position today. They are in the desert, wandering aimlessly, when the promised land is just ahead of them. The glory of God. God wants to reveal His glory. All you have to do is step out in that faith, knowing God's going to persevere and that He has control over every situation of your life. Every situation. A lot of times, they see the promise. They see it, but they can't quite understand it or reach it. And what do? They disobey God. They walk away from it. God sent out the spies into Canaan because He didn't want the Israelites to be surprised. Just like with Donna's testimony, God knew that we would probably have stinking thinking. So, you know, He has a sense of humor. So He kind of put that in there and then revealed it to us, you know? And sometimes we learn by situations we're brought into. We have to. And we don't take those situations in a negative sense, but we grow upon them. As Pastor was saying before, we grow upon the trials and tribulation that we're brought through. They're growing times. Amen? Hebrews 11:6. And I think we all know that in the King James Version. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Amen? As Christians today, most Christians, or a lot of Christians today, turn their backs when trials or tribulation come their way. They walk, they see the trial, and they say, "No, Lord, I don't want no part of this," and walk away, forgetting about what God is trying to do in our lives. Even in the land of promise, there will be trials and tribulation, but we're to find joy in that. The reason people today do not experience all that God has for them is that they refuse to go forward into the promised land that God has for them. We must depend on God to direct us and to deal with our adversaries. And our adversaries can both be spiritual, or it can be physical. God's promise in Exodus 23:22. But if you indeed obey His voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemy and an adversary to your adversary. Thank you, Jesus. Psalms 32:7-8. You are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Think about that. Selah. Yes. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. How many parents here can have their children across the room, and when they're misbehaving, just by looking at them, can say, "You're in trouble." Or, "Great job, I'm so proud of you." And that's what He does for us. Amen? intimacy, love, hearing God's voice by having intimacy with Him. And stop with the stinking thinking and move forward. Don't turn your back. And watch what He does. In our walk, it's just amazing. The miracles. A lot of times when we pray, I would say 99% of the time when we pray for a person or a village or within the village, the miracles don't happen while we're there. It happens after we leave. Because God gets the glory, not man. Even though you may not see it, if you're praying for somebody in Walmart or at the doctor's office, you may not see it, but know His word does not go void. And it's His job. We're the vessel, but let Him do the work. We can tell you stories upon stories upon stories of God's miraculous work. And it's never about Donna and Steve. It's never about Alan. Alan is just amazing out there in the field. You can see him flourishing and growing. The seeds have been planted. You can hear, even after he's left, of the wonder miracles of God and the growth that is happening. And I pray that the Lord sees fit for Alan to come back to Tanzania, because there's so much out there. So many people who haven't heard the voice of God or even know about Jesus. Thank you for your prayers and your support. You guys are all part of the kingdom. As Pastor said before, maybe you can't do it by finances. Maybe you can. But your prayers. We watched the Red Sea part. To areas where no foreigner has gone before. But God opens the Red Sea. It's His. Even, and we know this, even if just one who comes to the Lord, it was all worth it. Even if it was just one. Amen. So let me pray. Father, thank you so much. You are our Father, Abba Father, Jehovah Jireh, the provider. Lord, we give you all the glory, all the thanks. We thank you for your mercy and your grace that you bestow upon each and every one of us, each and every day. Father, I thank you for the seen things you do in our life, and I thank you for the unseen. Father God, I pray for this church, that they would reach out to this county. They're reaching out to the world with Pastor. And Father, as I said before, your voice does not go void. We thank you, Lord. You're a merciful God. You are holy. Jesus, we give our lives to you. Show us your way. Let us not have that stinking thinking that the rest of the world has. Let us not talk ourselves out of the promise you have for our lives. Father, we want to hear your direction. We want it to be molded and shaped into the image and likeness of you each and every day. And each and every day is a new day. We thank you for even the breath that you give us. Father, to be here today and see Pastor here is a miracle in itself. And we believe in a total healing for him. We believe in a total healing for Javin. And Father, we can share testimonies upon testimonies of your goodness, of what you've done, even in Donner and I. The way you brought us through, because we trust in you. We believe even though that our eyes can't see. We believe in you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' matchless name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Steve, Sister Donna. It's precious to have that time with you. Let's pray for them. Father, we thank you for Steve and Donna, their obedience to your call, the work you're doing through them as they trust and obey you. Father, I pray there be increase, favor, increase of the anointing, increase everything pertaining their lives with you. We thank you, Father. Fill them up today, Father, as they've been giving out of themselves. Fill them up again. We pray for their children, various parts of the world. You bless them. Your hand be upon them. We thank you, Father. Javin's healed in Jesus' name. And Father, we just rejoice that you ordain times and you ordain relationships. So we celebrate that today. We thank you for it, Father. And Father, just direct us concerning giving support of them to sow into the rich work you're doing there in Tanzania. We thank you for the direction of the Holy Spirit. Father, we set our hearts in celebration of what you're doing to give joyfully. We thank you for directing us in it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Do I need to say anything? We have any other announcements, Paul? No other announcements. Okay. Well, it was a great day. Really appreciate everyone coming and worshiping. And appreciate Brother Steve and Don, and you're blessing us. The people were blessed, touched our heart. Say amen. So we will go forward with expectation that the Lord's going to use you to touch someone around you throughout the week. Amen. We'll dismiss. Mm-hmm.